Amen. If you have a Bible with you, and if you don't, I don't know if any ushers are ready or not, but if you don't, if you raise your hand or talk to an usher, they'll make sure that you get one. We've got some extras in the back. But if you would open your Bibles to Acts chapter 15, once again, if you've been with us, you know that we've been talking about some things pertaining to praise and worship and the idea of God restoring His church, and God, in the midst of restoring His church, wants to restore praise and worship to a greater degree. And we want to turn again to one of the texts that we've been looking at in Acts chapter 15, Acts the 15th chapter, and we want to begin reading here at about verse 15. Now, the situation as we know it had a lot to do with some conflict that was going on. And in the midst of that conflict, James, who was the leader of the church in Jerusalem at that time, began to speak up, and he got a revelation from God. And the conflict had to do with non-Jewish believers. And what would the Jews do? The Jewish believers, what were the Jewish believers going to do with these non-Jewish believers? Were they going to make them go through law and ritual and all those things? And that was much of the debate that was going on here. But then James speaks up after there was much disputing, after much arguing. James speaks up and he quotes from the Word of God. Amos chapter 9 is where he quotes from. And notice, let's start reading at verse 14. It says this, Simon has declared, this is James speaking, Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jews. That means most of us here are Gentile believers. Visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. After this, this is God speaking through the prophet Amos. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things. Now, as I've shared with you already, I got to undo this top button because I got to be able to speak clearer, and I hate ties anyway. Hallelujah. And all the men said, amen. Hallelujah. All right. As we look at this, now remembering, now he said, God speaking through and giving revelation to James, the leader of the church at Jerusalem, says to him that this is a fulfillment of what Amos the prophet said, that I'm going to return and I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I'm going to rebuild its ruins thereof. And the reason why is so that the rest of mankind, or the residue of men, might seek after the Lord. Now, we've already shared with you that the idea of God returning did not mean God in reference to the Lord coming again. It referred to the presence of God coming to people's hearts. And we now are called the tabernacle of God. You as a believer are now called the tabernacle of God, the temple of the living God. God's abiding presence is on the inside of you if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Amen? Amen. And so when he says, I'm going to return, and then referring back to the tabernacle of David, which we looked at and studied, especially 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and 60, he's talking about bringing the presence of God back to the people in order so that the people might, first of all, worship God in spirit and in truth, so that the people might experience the benefits of God's presence. And as the people of God experience the presence of God, then God's presence in them will draw the rest of mankind to Himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you understanding me here today? And so God is speaking through James and going back to Amos and saying, listen, guys, what this is doing, what is happening here with the non-Jews coming to Christ, the non-Jews coming to Jesus, this is a fulfillment. Because I returned and my spirit came on the inside of you. And now you, believing Jews, are the tabernacle of David in a spiritual sense. And that presence of God in you is drawing the Gentiles to me, says God. Are you hearing me here? And you know that carries on for you and me as well. Do you know the presence of God in you and me? As we exercise and practice the presence of God, as we enter into worship and praise, much like we did this morning, and I believe will to a greater degree in the future as we grow and develop in our praising and worshiping God, I believe that God's presence showing up in our lives and in our midst corporately is going to cause those that don't know Christ to seek the Lord. They are going to know of a truth that God is in us and in our midst, because when God shows up, He cannot be denied. Is that not right? Amen. And so we need to be believing God. We need to have our faith out there that we will be the tabernacle of David. We will be a tabernacle for God. And as being a tabernacle for God, even though we are legally, we need to be vitally and experience and exemplify the presence of God in our lives. Now, one thing that we're emphasizing in all of this is this idea of praising and worshiping God in spirit and in truth, not in ritualistic, traditional, dead kind of worship. How many of you know? How many of you are familiar with what I'm talking about when I say a dead ritualistic type of quote-unquote worship? Most of us know that. Isn't that right? No, God wants us to have lively worship. He wants us to have a worship that not necessarily is, demonstrative, although it can be, but worship that is full of life. Amen? That is full of meaning. That is not just going through the motions, but is heartfelt from the heart. And as we do, God's presence inhabits those kinds of praises. Amen? Are you listening to me? All right, now, let's review some things that we said last time, and then we're going to launch off, and I'm aware of the time. Don't worry about the time. We want to allow God to have His way. But whenever, the beautiful thing about it is that when we're done, we're done. When the time's up, time's up. Unless God wants to do something else, I can put a period on this message anywhere I want to and pick up next time where I left off. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. All right, but let's look at this. Why do we need to praise and worship God? This is a review from last time to just jog your memory and begin to help you get it on the inside of you. Notice now, there were 11 things. There's probably more, but 11 things. Here's the first four. God commands it, number one. Number two, because God is great. Number three, God is worthy of our praise and worship. And I said to you this, that the church, you as believers, you've got a lot to sing about, whether you realize it or not. You've got a lot to praise God about. When you think about His mercy and His grace and the fact that you're not going to hell and you know it because it's not by works, but it's by faith in the grace of God, you've got a lot to sing about. And you know what? Don't let the enemy or anybody else convince you, well, I can't sing. I'll just listen. I'll let everybody else sing. Well, forget about that. God's called you to be a singer. God's called you to be a praiser. Oh, maybe we don't want you up there with a microphone, but God hears it and it's beautiful. Amen? Amen. Amen, because it's from the heart. It's from the heart. So God's worthy of our praise and worship. Number four, God inhabits the praises of His children. There is a presence that comes with it, as we said. Go to the next frame. Number five, we said, why should we worship and praise God? Number five, it's a way of releasing our faith. When we praise and worship God, not only are we releasing our faith, showing our faith, but we are also driving doubt and unbelief away, aren't we? We are defeating doubt and unbelief when we are releasing our faith in praising and worshiping God. Especially when we don't feel like it. Especially when the circumstances don't look like we ought to be praising and worshiping God. But when we do, we are releasing faith, and doubt and unbelief and fear and all that other junk has got to go. Isn't that right? Are you alive and well today? Look lively then. Look lively. Amen. Amen. All right? And so it releases our faith. Number six, it releases God's power and ability in our lives. We can see that from those passages of Scripture. I encourage you to look them up. Releases God's power and ability in our lives. It sets the stage then for the miraculous. Our praising, our worshiping sets the stage, prepares the way for the miraculous power of God to take place. That's biblically fact. Amen. And we believe the Word, don't we? And so we ought to be expecting that. We ought to be expecting that as we praise and worship God, that the miraculous is going to be released. I've seen it time and time again. I remember years ago teaching on the radio and having praise and worship offered on the radio as we taught it. People would begin to praise and worship God. And a lady wrote us, that was before emails, had to write slow mail, and wrote us a letter and said, as I was praising and worshiping God along with you on the radio, I was healed of this malady that I'd had for years. Well, I believe that, don't you? Amen. And so we need to be practicing praising and worshiping God. It releases the power and ability of God in our lives. Number seven, and it's related, but there adds other thoughts to it. It can bring deliverance to our lives. When you praise and worship God, I believe that if a person praises and worships God for His goodness, His mercy, for His power, for His might, and just gets their mind on God, you believe they can be delivered from cigarettes or drugs or alcohol or anything else? Don't you believe that? Amen. Amen. And so we ought to be expected that. Do you think maybe then, because God has ordained worship and praise of Himself in order to bring about His power, bring about His presence, bring about deliverance in our lives, then would you agree that maybe, just maybe, though that may not be the only way a deliverance comes, and it's certainly not, or the only way His power is released, and it's certainly not, but do you think that maybe then, if we desire more of His power and more deliverance and more freedom and all these things, do you think maybe we ought to kick it up a little bit more in our praise and worship of God? Amen. Get our minds off the problem. Get our minds off the circumstances. Get our minds focused on Him and let Him move in a mighty way. Let's go to number 8 now. 8 is, it's the remedy for the spirit of heaviness. Some of you came in here heavy today. I sensed it. I knew it. No doubt about it. But if you'll get your mind on Him and your worship, if you'll begin to focus on Him instead of the problem, it'll cause that spirit of heaviness to go from you, because you're putting on what? The garment of praise. Wear praise like a garment. Wear praise like a garment. Amen? What's that mean? That means it's something you're wearing all the time. You're ever ready to praise the Lord. You're ever ready to shout. You're ever ready to give Him glory. Amen? It's something where, you know, if you hit the wrong nail when you're hammering, you ever hit the wrong nail? And you know, the first words out of your mouth, and not some other word, but the first words out of your mouth are praise God. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. I rejoice in you, God, in the name of Jesus. That pain's got to go. Amen? Amen. Those are the words that come out of your mouth. Why? Because you built those things in your heart already. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Is that not right? Are you doing all right today? All right. So help me, help me, help me. Be looking like you're doing all right. All right. And so it helps us shift our focus. Let's go to the next one. Number 9. This is review. Praise and worship will cause us to experience spiritual refreshing. Spiritual refreshing. You ever come to church, and again, don't think this is only for our corporate gatherings, it's for our individual lives, to praise Him and to worship Him. In fact, if you'll praise Him and have a lifestyle of praising and worshiping God, if you'll do it when you're on your own, you'll be ready when you come here. Isn't that right? Amen? I mean, we encourage that. We encourage that. Begin to praise and worship God on your way. Do it as a lifestyle, and when you come here, man, you're going to be ready, aren't you? Amen? And so, again, it'll cause spiritual refreshing. And some of you need refreshing. You come here sometimes. It's true of all of us. There's no question about it. We come here, and spiritually speaking, it's like we need a drink of fresh water. We need something to invigorate us. We need something to help us have strength for another day. Are you hearing me? And I submit to you that our praising and our worshiping God will give us strength for another day. And if we'll do it as a lifestyle, we'll have strength for every day. Going on, number 10, because it's an expression of love, praise and worship is, it helps us develop a deeper love relationship with the Lord. We're created for intimacy and relationship with God. And so in that, it also helps us grow in being a strong disciple of the Lord. Then finally, number 11, praise and worship opens your heart to hear from the Lord. And as we're praising and worshiping God, we can expect the Lord to give us answers. Expect the Lord to give us wisdom. Expect the Lord to open our eyes. And you know, I don't know about you, but many times, my mind gets so muddled with things, I don't think I can hear from God for anything in the world. Because my mind is so active. My mind is so busy. How many of you have a busy mind? I have a busy mind. My mind gets so active and so busy, it's hard to hear from God. But when I begin to praise God and get my mind off everything else and get my mind on Him, mind on His promises, mind on His goodness, God begins to speak to my heart and I get answers that I didn't have before. Amen. Amen. That's a biblical principle worth having. Amen. All right, now going on from here, biblical expressions of praising and worshiping God. Now, some of the things I'm going to mention to you right now are things that you may have heard before, maybe not. I know that there's people that have probably never heard some of these things before, but you know what? It bears repetition whether you've heard it before or not. It's something that we need to hear, and there's things that we do in our praising and worshiping God that we need to either be reminded as to why we do it. If we're not reminded as to why we do it, then we're just doing it out of ritual. Isn't that right? And then there's those that don't even know why. You might be here for the first time, or maybe you never went to a church like this before till a month ago, whatever, and you still are wondering why do these crazy people lift their hands and things like that. We need to know why we do what we do. Amen? I remember many years ago, you know, my family went from being Methodist to full gospel like we are when I was 17 years old. And my parents, for first, my father especially, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And a Methodist filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, the Lord will fill Methodists with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Amen. And so my father got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, spiritual language and all that. And he's a very introverted fellow, shy kind of guy. I knew that when he received it, it had to be real. I mean, I'd heard of that before, you know. Those AG people down the road, they did that kind of thing, you know. You hear what I'm saying to you? And my father got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then the rest of the family, little by little. But when I went, now 17 years old, how many of you know sometimes 17 years old, you know, they think they know everything, but they don't know nothing. Forgive me, 17-year-olds. I'm just kidding with you. Just kidding. But you know, at least me. But I had some common sense. And I'll tell you one thing I said to them. I said, I'll go. But I'll tell you, because I just knew enough about those kind of people. People like us. People like me now. I knew just enough to know that if I went to that service, those people, they're going to be lifting their hands. I said, I'm not going to lift my hands. I'll go with you, Dad, but I'm not going to lift my hands. And you know, I'm not gonna say hallelujah like everybody else at that church does. They always say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Always say hallelujah. And I say, I'm not gonna say hallelujah, but I'll go with you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And you know the reason why in my mind, and I think it's legitimate, I think we all probably ought to think this way. Why do anything unless we understand what we're doing? Why do anything or say anything just because that's what they do? We want to do anything that we do because it has meaning to us and we know what we're doing. We know why we're doing it. And certainly if you're going to say hallelujah, you ought to at least know what hallelujah means, because I didn't know. Do any of you know what hallelujah means? I didn't know what hallelujah meant. I certainly wasn't going to go and say something just because everybody else did, because it was the thing to do in that kind of church. I didn't even know what hallelujah meant. But when I found out what it meant, and after having an experience with Jesus, man, I did not hesitate to say, hallelujah. Amen. And when I found out what lifting hands really meant, man, I lifted my hands up high. And you know, I'll tell you, you know, there's a saying, if you stand too close to a slippery stream, stand too close on that slippery rock, you're eventually going to slip into the stream. I just stood too close, man. I was too close to those Pentecostal charismatics. And man, eventually I just slipped in and became one just like them. So if you don't want to be like us, don't stand too close, because you're going to fall right in with us. Amen. Amen. All right. Biblical expressions of praising and worshiping God. We only got a couple of minutes, but number one, praising and worshiping God with our voice. We're going to talk about three areas eventually, not today. We don't have time. But worshiping and praising God with our voice, praising and worshiping God with our hands, and praising and worshiping God with our body in general. There are different ways of expressing our praise and worship of God, and we experience all those things to one degree or another. The first one is speaking, and we just mentioned, how about just saying hallelujah, speaking the praises of God. Speaking the praises of God. There's scriptures there, but let me give you some. Psalm 51 and 15 says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Psalm 63, 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Let's go to the last one. Psalm 145 and verse 21, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. And so the speaking of our praise, the speaking of praise the Lord, the speaking of Father, I glorify you. Lord, I rejoice in you today. How many of you know you don't even have to sing, though singing's an important part. You can speak praises to the Lord. Now, you know, there's power in words. How many of you know there's power in words? How many of you know God created the world by his words? He says it is written. Amen. He said it is written, and it was. Let's look at the next frame. A congregation or an individual speaking praise and adoration to God has great power. A look at Proverbs and the tongue. Just think about this in relationship to the idea of our praise and speaking praise to God. Look at Proverbs and some of the things it says about the tongue in the next frame. It says, hopefully you can read that. I had to fit it on one frame because I wanted to save frames. But anyway, Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And so if you're praising God, speaking praises to him, you are drawing from the well of life. I mean, there's going to be some life ministered to you. Are you hearing me here today? All right, it says in Proverbs 12:24, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. If that applies to words in general, wouldn't you think it also applies to your words of praise to God? That you're going to be satisfied. There's going to be a blessing. There's going to be a fruitfulness in your life because of your voice of praise to God. Absolutely. And then Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. You know, we look at that with the idea of praising and worshiping, speaking our praise. I believe we speak our praise and we can get healthier in our life, physically, emotionally, mentally, and every other way. And then Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And then Proverbs 18:21, very familiar, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love death, you'll eat the fruit of it because that's what you're speaking, speaking out death. But if you love life, you speak words of life and certainly praise to God are words of life and you're going to eat the fruit of that. Is that not right? So there's power in your words and power in your speaking words of praise to God. You know, years ago, and I'm just about out of time, I think. Maybe I got five more minutes or so. If you give me five, I'll take five and we'll be done. How's that? All right. But you know, how many of you remember on the radio? He might still be on the radio, but he's getting up there in age. And we had him at the church when we were at the other location, a fellow by the name of Don Gossett. Anybody know Don Gossett? Is he still on? God bless him. He's one of the patriarchs of the faith, this fella Don Gossett. And you know, I don't know if you ever remember this. Some of you probably do, I'm sure. But he, at the end, I think of every one of his broadcasts, he'll say, all right, it's time to praise the Lord 10 times. How many of you remember that? You remember that? And he'd count it off. And you know what? How many of you ever did it with him? I've done it with him. And you know, by the time that 10th time is over, man, I could just feel it. I don't know about you. I just could feel it. Speaking our praise to God. Let's do it. Let's do it. Ready? Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I tell you, there is something about that. It just stirs you up. If 10 didn't do it for you, do 20. It'll do it for you. Amen. When you mean it from your heart. Amen. All right. Let's go to the next one. Next thing is singing, obviously. A lot of things to be said about singing. We've talked about singing. As I mentioned to you, the church has a lot to sing about. Let's look at some scriptures for that. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I'll sing praise to my God while I have my being. Let's go on. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Next one, Psalm 66:2. And praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Barbara sang a new song this morning, didn't she? I don't know if you caught it. You were wondering, well, why isn't it up on the big screen? It's because it was a new song. They didn't have time to type it. So sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let's go to the next one. Creation, most of the things that happened that were great events in the scripture were surrounded by the singing unto God. Here with creation, Job 38, 4 through 7, where were you? God speaking to Job, pretty firm stuff. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Do you ever think about all you know and how you ought to tell God anything and inform Him of things? He could say this to you and I as well. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars, that's speaking of angelic beings, the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Some say the morning stars are the actual stars. Maybe they are. Others interpret it as the angels of God. But no matter what it was, there was singing that went on when God founded and created the world. Isn't that right? Let's go to the next one, the deliverance of Israel from Pharaoh. Exodus 15, 20 and 21, after they went through the Red Sea, it says, then Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances, and Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord. Why? For He has triumphed gloriously, the horse and its rider, He is thrown into the sea. A great event, the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. You and I have been delivered. If they sang, shouldn't we sing? If they sang about their deliverance, our deliverance is so much more. Should we not sing as well? because he has done greatly things. The horse and the rider may not have been thrown into the sea, but Satan and his cohorts have been defeated. Isn't that right? Amen. The dedication of Solomon's temple, you can read that on your own. We've read it many times about how they all sang in one accord. And as the priests sang, it says the whole house was filled with the glory of the Lord. The whole house was filled with His glory. Many great events were associated with singing and praising of God. Another area of praising and worshiping God with our voice. First of all, speaking our praise. Then they're singing our praise. And then how about shouting? Everybody say shout. Shout. Now when you say shout the next time, say it with a shout. Everybody, shout! Amen. You know, sometimes we talk about, well, why on earth did they get so noisy in there? Well, we get noisy in there for one reason, because we're excited. How many of you know shouting has to do with being excited about God? Amen. Amen. Being excited. When you're excited about God, or excited about anything for that matter, how many of you know you get a little loud? You get a little bit exuberant. Isn't that right? Amen. And so let's look at some scriptures here about shouting. It says in 1 Chronicles 15:28, thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant. This is about the Tabernacle of David. We've read it. Here it is again. They brought up the Ark of the Covenant with the Lord, covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn, with trumpets and with cymbals, making music with string instruments and harps. They were excited. Not at all like you right now. They were excited. They shouted to the Lord. Amen. They were so excited, they couldn't contain themselves anymore. Lord, bring the ark. Go to the next one. Psalm 35:27, let them shout for joy. You know, you could look at it this way. If you don't have joy manifest, maybe you ought to start shouting for it. If you shout for joy, you might experience some. Isn't that right? It says, shout for joy and be glad, who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Shout for joy. Be glad. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. God said still, shout for joy. He knows everything. He knew what you'd be going through today. Back then when he inspired David to write that, he knew what you'd be going through, and he still said, shout for joy and be glad. Isn't that right? Did you get all that? I talk too fast. All right. All right. Let's go to the next one. It says in Psalm 132 and verse 16, I will also clothe her priests with salvation. How many of you are the priests of the Lord? Well, we'll have an altar call at the end, so the rest of you become priests and get saved. Amen. But it says, I will also clothe her priests with salvation and her saints. How many of you are saints of the Lord? We'll pray and help you become a saint at the end as well, because a saint means you're a believer in Jesus. Amen. It doesn't mean that you did something kind of fabulous and then after you died, you know, a long time after that, you know, somebody like the Pope considered you a saint. No. Every born-again believer is a saint, right? If you're not a saint before you die, you ain't going to be a saint after you die, right? And you're a saint by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so he's talking about you and me. I will also clothe their priests with salvation, and their saints shall shout aloud for joy. Somebody said, well, you know, God's not hard of hearing. No, but God's not nervous either, is he? Let's go to the next frame and let's look at what's said here. Then we got to end. Notice Judson Cornwall, great author and pastor. He's gone home to be with the Lord. It is not that God desires the volume or puts a premium on noise, but that man needs the release of his pent-up joyful emotions that shouting can bring him. We need the release when we really understand what God has done. When we really understand Him and know Him, we will get excited, and it'll be all we can get. You see, when He's real to us, there's something worth shouting about. Let's look at something Billy Graham said. Many years ago, he said this, some people accuse us of too much emotionalism. Now, Billy Graham's Baptist. If he was accused of emotionalism, how many of you know we're really bad? You understand what I'm saying? I never thought of Billy Graham as emotional, really. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, being guilty of emotionalism. Some people accuse us of too much emotionalism. I say we have too little. I say the same. How about you? This is why we're losing church people to other interests. We need not only to capture their minds, we've got to touch their hearts. We've got to make people feel their faith. Somebody said, well, we walk by faith and not by feelings. Absolutely, but when you got faith, some feelings ought to come with it. Amen. When you got some passion, you know, if your wife or your husband asks you, honey, do you love me? Oh, yeah, I love you. Love you, girl. Really appreciate you. Thanks for everything. Great supper. You know, if you don't ever show any enthusiasm, how many of you know it's not convincing? Not convincing. How many of you know we ought to have some passion? Some excitement. If we're really excited, isn't that right? Amen. And so, you know, this idea of shouting to the Lord. Not that we ought to do it every time, all the time. You know, there's sometimes when it's inappropriate to do that kind of thing. You know, when it's real quiet, we're enjoying, just soaking in the presence of God. If somebody starts shouting, how many of you know that's not the time to do it usually? You hear what I'm saying? But there is a time. There's a time to shout for joy. There's a time to shout with the gladness that's in your heart. Amen. Some of you get more excited over football, baseball, and who knows what else than you do God. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't shout when it has to do with baseball, but I do believe you ought to shout louder when it has to do with God. Because when baseball's gone and no longer existent, when there's a new heaven and a new earth, there'll be no more shouting about baseball, but there'll sure be shouting and joying in God. Isn't that right? Some of you say, I thought there's going to be baseball in heaven. Maybe there will be. But anyway. All right, we're going to end there right now, but I want to just share with you some things in the upcoming weeks about praising and worshiping God. We're going to talk about not only worshiping and praising with our voice. These are ways we worship and praise Him with our voice. We need to be vocal. We need to express what's in our heart. We need to be willing to do that. You say, that's just not my personality. If the worship team had come, I'd appreciate that. You might say, well, you know, that's just not my personality. Well, that's got nothing in the world to do with it. Your personality's got nothing to do with it. It has to do with priesthood, not personality. Isn't that right? And we've been called the priests of God. We've been called to offer up the sacrifice of praise. It's not a matter of whether it's your personality or not. It's a matter of whether it's part of your, are you a priest unto God, and are you going to give that sacrifice of praise? Now, I would add to that, though, that not everybody is going to express themselves in the same way. All right? You may sing different than somebody else. You might shout in a different volume than somebody else. You may not express yourself exactly the same way. You don't have to mimic anybody, but from your heart, express your adoration to God. Isn't that right? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. Babe, do you want to say something? We know that if Betty's going to say something, it must be God, because she never comes up here.
Like you, Paul, I'm under attack because I don't like to be in front of people. But Paul was absolutely correct when he said that he was under attack and he was supposed to sing that song this week and not last week.
Hallelujah.
And God wants you all to know that He felt your emotional pain, your physical pain. He saw your tears and He has healed your physical pain, your emotional pain, and the tears that you shed for those who have been backslidden in your family. He says now they're going to start slipping forward. And He also, most importantly, wants you to know that you truly lifted Jesus higher today, higher than you have ever lifted Him before. And yes, we got to start feeling our faith, and we got to start dancing around and praising the Lord. We're going to get you, Pastor. We're going to start doing it. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. But you know, that's a good example, you know, because we'll talk about dancing. Dancing's in the Bible. But you know, I dance almost every Sunday. But you see, I do the slow dance. Some of you might do a wild kind of dance, and we pray for you that you don't hurt yourself or anybody else. But I do a slow kind of excitement to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because you don't want to see anything other than that. Believe me, coming out of me. Amen. Would you stand? Let's pray. Amen. Let's just begin to rejoice in God again. Begin to sing. Begin to shout if you so are so inclined. And let's just practice that which we said. We can sing. We can shout. We can speak our praises to God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for healing hearts. We thank You for healing bodies. We thank You for delivering us and setting us free. We thank You, Father God, for helping us reach out out to a higher level of praise, a higher level of worship. We want to be the tabernacle of David. We want to be that spiritual presence of God living in us, Lord God, and experiencing your presence in a greater way, Father God. Oh, the Ark of the Covenant. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our Ark, and his presence has come, and he lives in us by the Spirit of God. And so we do rejoice. We do sing praise. We do shout for joy today, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We rejoice in you, O Lord.